Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
So happy birthday to the great Larry Brown, of course, assistant here, like we've been talking about the last several months, just recently beat COVID, you know? If you can beat COVID at 81, you can certainly beat Tennessee at Bridgestone, right?
I hope so.
I mean, I know you're high on that team, but
I don't want to lose to Tennessee and the Balls. I'm speaking as a Memphis graduate there, especially with a Memphis kid playing point guard and leading the way there in Kenny Chandler.
Yes. So,
and I think you certainly have the talent. You're going to start the season ranked higher than Tennessee now. It's a different conversation
Tennessee
than what it
was. Tennessee will probably be like 20-something, right?
Or low teens. Yeah. It's a different conversation because they got Fulkerson back, too. They got some stuff back. It's a different conversation than what it was before you got Imani Bates and Jalen Duren. A lot different conversation. I think you expect to win now, whereas you likely would have been the underdog going into that game, at least from a betting standpoint, you would have been beforehand. Now you're going to be higher ranked probably if you haven't had a letdown at that point in the season, and I expect you to be favored, you know, in that game now. So, yeah, I think, yeah, I hope it's enough to beat Tennessee, John. I certainly hope that.
You plan on taking
See Larry the other day doing the rebounders thing? That man is working for Memphis.
He is working on the court.
Well, we talked about that. We got the event coming up.
He was not going to take this job unless he was allowed to do that. Like, he insisted on it. He said, I'm not just going to be a figurehead for your program.
Okay, I see what you're saying. My whole point is, like, I get that. You want to go out on the road. Be everywhere. You want to have all the responsibilities that any assistant would. First assistant, chair, second, whatever you want to put him. But the part that maybe you're not necessarily wanting to do at that point, that's all of the fun stuff for a coach like Larry Brown is the drum up, is the building the support, right? And I didn't know you're going to get all that, right? You're going to go on the road. We'd like you to do everything. And so I think drumming up rebounder support, you know, doing those small roles too, that a guy as accomplished as him,
mm-hmm.
more accomplished than any coach we've seen in terms of basketball and championships.
I think it drives home how grateful he is for the chance
to do this.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not just a deal where I got to have it my way or I wasn't coming. Give me what I want here in terms of being out on the road, all that kind of stuff. I want to do everything. And I'll do those little things as well. And I think that's the part that I appreciate that he's willing to do that stuff too, because, you know, again, a guy as accomplished as him might look at that, that's stuff for the second or third assistant. Can we get somebody else?
Exactly.
He's drumming up support for the rebounder, saying, come join us in the event.
The other thing that we sort of mentioned this yesterday, but the other thing that I've heard coming out of the University of Memphis is two things, both regarding Rasheed Wallace. One is Showtime wants to do a show potentially on Rasheed and Bonzi. They're living together. So Bonzi and Rasheed
and
Wallace.
And both coaching college
Well, that'd be a
program.
Great show to watch.
It'll be better than the friggin' harder way. I mean, that had potential. That had potential because of all the tumult that was going on around the program.
But they completely kept
just,
that
yeah,
out of it.
It was just like the,
like
it was
the
just,
Raiders episode of Hard Knocks.
It's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. It to me, reminded me. I give it a little bit more of a pass because it's college, you know, And you know, you don't necessarily want that.
It was the Wiseman stuff that we just did not get.
You don't want to get too real with that, right? But it was like just totally glossed over. Oh, the number one player in the country is now no longer on the team, and that's tough. And it's like, no, dude, like there's a lot more to that that you could have gone into, but you didn't because you were, you know. Again, I give that a little bit more of a pass because it's college, not professional. But, you know, this would be, to me, it would not be the same, I guess, you know, advertisement for Memphis basketball because Monzi's not a staff member and it would not just be about the university, but it would be in the background probably all the time because that's what Rasheed Wallace is doing.
Well, isn't that, in terms of you watching it at interest level and compelling, isn't that better than having sort of Memphis in control in terms of the narrative and the story there to where you say, no, we don't want the conflict from James Wiseman in the thing. Matter of fact, just get everything around that. If it's sort of outside of their hands and it's just Rasheed and Bonzi, you'll get them a more thorough and probably more enlightening documentary or whatever form it's going to take. I would imagine it's that way.
Well,
and who wouldn't want to watch the two of them?
Well, like,
you're about to ask if they play. I don't think they never played together. They never crossed paths.
But Bonzi was in Portland, right?
Maybe you're right. I guess they did. That would be the place where they did. I know it wasn't Detroit. That's for sure.
Yeah, Bonzi played in. Oh yeah, they played together. They had to. Because Bonzi was there from 98 to 2003. Rasheed was there from 96 to 04. So they were teammates for quite a while, were Rasheed and Bonzi. Yeah. So
it's not just a Showtime thing, and they've been on these Iverson classics, and that they've got a long-standing relationship that goes back and chemistry already.
Like, how great would it be, like, just, you know, Sheed or Bonzi just comes home from like a long ass day, you know, at the gym, and they start. You
Bonzi
know.
Like, we've been done, and Rasheed like, man, we've been still practicing all damn day.
Yeah. Bonzi and Lemoyne. I wonder, like, are they going to be like? We know what Penny's effect was for Memphis, right? Like, they just got a ton of players because it's Penny Hardaway, and like they continue to do that. Will let that same thing happen for Lemoyne with Bonzi as the head coach? Like, does it have the same sizzle? He is a former NBA player.
It's got sizzle for that level,
right?
The thing about that is, and you heard it in Bonzi in the presser, like, he's gonna get help from them folks.
Oh yeah,
Penny, Rasheed, Travis King.
It'll be like a feeder
who represents
school.
Him. Come on, like, they're gonna guys that you know the players that they know that they're not necessarily Memphis caliber gonna say, man, come on over
is
here
that
with
like
our
Tiger G League squad.
Like, it could be
is it like the hustle.
Like that's
if they're good enough,
all day long. And Bonzi was saying Bonzi was saying he welcomed that because at first he was going there to be the assistant under Rasheed. He wasn't coming to be a head coach. He wasn't quite ready for this. Guy had been sitting as an assistant coach at his alma mater in high school. Rasheed was gonna be a head coach. Bonzi coming to be the assistant. He pointed that out, and now he's the head guy. He's still looking for some help. And I think those folks are going to have his back.
So, again, can they help him with NAIA?
Isn't it Division II? I thought it was D2.
Is that not the – D2, NAIA is what they play in Division II.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Oh, is that true?
I was thinking it was NCAA. Sorry.
I don't know. I'm asking
honestly.
Find
out.
I
mean, look.
They are in
the last time we looked at their division standings.
I mean, they are in D2. They're in the SIAC. They're not in the NAIA. They're in the SIAC.
Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference or something like that.
Give Jason a round of applause.
Well, no, because I couldn't tell you. I got NAIA, D2AA. I don't remember any of them anymore.
Yeah.
You're on
but
it.
But I remember
you're
Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference.
Yeah.
I
so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, could it?
So, is it Lane in there? Who do they play now?
Okay, let's look it up. I mean, shout out to
because if it's Lane, then it's Andre in them.
Morehouse, Savannah State, Spring Hill, Tuskegee.
Lane's in there. Yep.
Yeah, Lane is
and
in there.
That's Andre Turner now. You know he's head coach there.
Fort Valley
Metro
State,
coach, former Tiger. Yep.
Clark, Atlanta,
NCAA Division II.
See, he can.
But my question is, like, how many
with Penny and them's help? Why can he not?
Well, has there ever been a D2 player?
There.
Like, is it fairly regular that a Division II player becomes good enough to transfer up to Division I? Probably not, right?
I mean, you say, is it fairly regular? You tell me the guys around here that have done it. I would say maybe in other parts of the country, but here?
I'm just trying to sort of
Yeah, Duncan Robinson went D3 to Michigan.
Okay, yep. Well, that's even worse than D2.
Yeah, I mean, that's a private...
That's probably the most high-profile...
It's rare.
Yes.
Is the
very
point.
Rare. Yeah.
That's the most high profile example off the top of my head.
That's the only one I can really think of.
William Anderson, who's now used to be the head coach, but is now the athletic director. Travis, the best friend coming up, represents Rasheed and Bonzi. You got Penny in that mix. They're all gonna help Bonzi at that point. I mean, you know, the level of player will have to go up inevitably.
Well,
I don't know if they're gonna be winning championships, but I would tell you that level of player is gonna go up.
Like what's more backing. Like what's more attractive? Going JUCO or going D2? Like, what's
You're asking the wrong person.
I'm just saying, like, what do you think is better?
I'd imagine. I mean, JUCO, you're still going hoping to end up at a Division One university.
Yep. Division Two is you're basically accepting that you're Division Two. Nothing wrong with that. You're still an amazing player.
JUCO, my whole thing, you didn't have the grades at the time.
Right.
That's what you're going for. Or maybe it's development. Some people look at it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And then on after 2 years.
But so, okay.
Or one, in some instances we've seen, on to your division.
Well, so
one.
There's a – the new guy at Southwest, right? Like there's ties with the coach at Southwest, right?
Yeah, his name escapes me at this
Jared point. Stevens, is that it?
Yes, that sounds correct.
Yeah. So there's ties with him too. So my question would just be in this, you know, Memphis basketball universe.
Right.
If there was a player that Memphis basketball wanted or liked, but he didn't have, like, let's just, again, this is a pure hypothetical.
You have him Southwest.
He wouldn't go to LeBoin.
He would go to Southwest to get it right. I don't know that that's changing now because Bonzi Wells is the coach. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, they probably said, Zaka, we need you to go to Southwest. And Zaka was like, I'm too good for Southwest.
No, bro.
Yeah.
I don't think they even told Zaka that. I think they told Zaka, peace. We love you. We want to get you somewhere you're going to actually play.
Yeah. But it is like this, like, you know, I think the Memphis basketball universe is very intertwined, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. All the folks calling the shots are all.
They're all.
Yeah, clicked up.
One city, one team, one goal, bro. You know what I mean?
We'll see where it gets. It feels like it's about to get Penny somewhere.
Has it ever been like this?
Not thought that he needed any of that.
Has it ever been this connected? You know what I mean? Because all these guys have relationships with each other, you know?
I mean, I don't know that, you know, at one point, you know, Verdi Sales, who was at Southwest for so long, you know, has got relationships, but I don't know that it's intertwined in the way that it is now, where you've literally got, you know, guys who are either former teammates or agents or best friends, in the case of Anderson and Travis King, you know, as tied in as this. But, yeah, you know, Memphis basketball, tight-knit community, you're always in contact.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, Verdi's wasn't, you know, it was Southwest. And did they have players that went to Memphis? Yeah, sure. That happened, but not this intertwined, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, anyway, I did hear that, and I also heard that, you know, Sheed's fitting in really well. Like, he's getting in the mix. Not that that's a surprise, but he's like guarding players.
Because the other longtime coach, just like Verdi's, was Jerry Johnson at LeMoyne, who's doing his own thing. You know what I'm saying? For years and years and years, the great Jerry Johnson. And so, no, I'm never as intertwined as it is now.
Well, shout out to LeMoyne. Shout out to LeMoyne Owen and Bonzi, and I hope.
You talking about you want an NIL deal with a Memphis player? Why don't you get you one with LeMoyne?
Huh?
Okay.
Nah, bro. I mean, no.
Help a LeMoyne NIL play name, image, and likeness. Let's get it.
A 4-for-4 deal, man.
I mean, you trying to find out what league they play in. You trying to get the education today and all that.
Yeah, but come in there. Come on, man.
Bonzi said he needs the help.
Yeah. I hope they kill it. I hope they win, you know, a Division II championship.
Now, who do you can pull for LeMoyne or you pull for Lane that's got a Tiger as the head coach?
Oh, wow. To the extent that I've ever thought about it.
I'm putting it on you right now on the spot.
I mean, this is the first time I've ever thought about this.
Memphis is playing Lane
in an exhibition
game, too, yeah.
No,
its former Tiger.
Lane is not in Memphis, but it's led by a Memphis Tiger. I mean, Andre Turner is the man. So I got to go with Lane. I'm sorry. I mean, Bonzi, it was a former Grizzly, but like he's not a Memphian. You know, the way that Lane Turner, Andre Turner.
And little general all day.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, all due respect.
With all due respect to LeMoyne and what's
going on. I hope Lane wins by one, you know, at the buzzer. You know, it was a, you know, close game.
Penny helping them both, quite frankly.
Indeed. Absolutely. Anyway, interesting stuff. Tigers ranked 10 in the latest sort of informal preseason ranking that I have seen. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Darren Bates is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the NFL Week 1 now in the books and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by Explore St. Louis.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
.com, the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
I hope you're ready for a new stadium for University of Memphis football, because it might be possibly, potentially, hypothetically, someday coming.
Good, because I got another question for you after you tell us this.
Okay, well, in case you missed it, I had a conversation with University of Memphis President Dr. M. David Rudd off the air, and that is where he told me that he plans to bring up the issue. He plans to raise the issue of a new stadium, quote-unquote, on campus, right? He was very careful in sort of the way we talked about on campus, because his whole point was Navy's campus, is J.D. Stadium is on campus, but it's the same distance from, you know, the university as it is from you know, as the Liberty Bowl is for me. So it's one of those convoluted things, right? But he definitely said he's going to raise the issue, and he basically challenged the state of Tennessee, which, as we know, historically has looked down upon the University of Memphis and not given them what they should in a lot of situations. It's why Memphis formed their own board of regents. We can have this conversation, you know, all day long. But basically challenge the state. Say, if we are one of your two flagship universities as per the charter of the Higher Education Commission in the state of Tennessee, then we should be treated as such, and we should be invested in as such. And part of that includes, but is certainly not limited to, a new stadium.
It's exciting to think about.
Exciting!
Well, I'll say that to say this. Where are we putting it?
Oh, man, we're going to put it in Bartlett. You know what I'm saying?
If you're going to tell me this is more than a test balloon, as you said in the first hour, I need to know where we're going to put it.
Well, I mean, you're asking nuts and bolts questions to...
Well, why can't a reporter, old reporter, ask some nuts and bolts questions?
Well, because we're
just... To the guy that wrote the story.
We're just not there yet. I don't think the University of Memphis is even close to that. I think they have to see... There's a process. First, they have to be officially recognized as a flagship university. Okay. So if you get that through, then you have to say, okay, well, if we're a flagship university, then we need to be invested in as such. Okay, well, then you get that through. Then you have to say, this is how much we need, and this is what we're going to use it for. So it's a multi-pronged process, and we're just literally getting to the beginning of it. But that is the plan. That is the plan from University of Memphis President Dr. M. As he basically outlined, he wants to be recognized as a flagship, because that, in turn, opens up a lot of doors for you financially. The stadium is the sexiest part of it, right? Whether that means a new one, the $40 to $50 million upgrades to the Liberty Bowl that we've already talked about before. But there's a lot of other stuff, too. I mean, he mentioned scientifically, academically. Like, there's just a lot of other things that they would like to have funding for that you don't, you know, the average listener doesn't necessarily care about, but is very beneficial to the university as a whole. So, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about put it somewhere? I mean, does it matter?
Yeah, it matters.
Why? Why does it matter?
Because the area you have is going to dictate to you how big the damn thing can be. Then you got to know. Then you'll know how much you actually need
where
to get it done. At some point, you have to decide.
Let's say that you
and here's the reason, because as good as this is, and I'll give Rhoda all the credit in the world, you got to be a visionary, and he has been when it comes to University of Memphis and its status and what it's trying to be to get to. But this, all of this, because what'd you say the date is? May 2022?
Yes.
All of this is going to matter in terms of it's getting done.
Yeah.
We'll be on the next president.
100%.
All of it is.
Yes.
And so,
and maybe even the next president after that.
But
let's be real.
Good on Rudd starting the conversation, because again, you need the vision to start the conversation to get the process going.
He wants to make sure that it's understood right by the next president as the day they get into the job.
That's my point. Is going to have to be.
Well, Rudd's going to be involved
if you're
going to
take the baton.
Yeah. And look, it ain't just him. It's Brad Martin. It's a bunch of people.
I get it. Who have
the University of Memphis's best interest at heart. They know that in this day and age. I'll be honest. It's just like Odyssey, right? For who we work, like sports is a priority for the company we work for, right? Like it's a major because they get it. You know, people love sports. People are passionate about sports. It's the same with college. It's the same with universities, higher institutions of learning in Division I. If you participate in Division I and you're outside of a power league, you got to convince those powers that be that you're serious about it, that you'll continue to be serious about it. And a big part of that is if you basically hand the next president a $300 million debt, but you know, of a stadium, he's going to have to get that done. And I think you're trying to set the tone, you know, for that that handing of the baton.
Well, what's clear is that if he's as involved as you say he will be, and we know he will be, and the Brad Martins and all those are too, is that you're not picking a Shirley Raines for the next president.
Someone, yeah, you can't.
Someone who doesn't understand. And maybe that's more indicative of where we are now. If you're a president of a university, it cannot be all about academia. And you understand that in your development or whatever it is you're getting to, you know, whatever that path is to you becoming president, it's a different thing now in terms of what you've got to the importance of athletics and being in the big boy. So you don't get that president that's going to say, oh no, we're not concerned with such things.
Right.
That would be understood at the get-go, and you're not getting a president who isn't going to take the baton and run with this and realize how important it could be for the universe. How important it is, not could be, is for the universe.
Well, and I think this, like, truly.
It's going to matter more that person gets it done.
Rudd has caught a lot of flack, and some of it he has brought on himself with certain situations. But the truth is that he did not just basically – he did not forsake the academic side of it for athletics.
He's improved the academic side of it.
Exactly. So both we have seen can be achieved.
Sure.
You know, it's not like you got to bring in the equivalent of, you know, an R.C. Johnson.
No, it's like we're talking about the football and the basketball conversation, and Norlander basically, you know, sort of implying that you need – it's got to be one or the other.
Right.
When frankly, no, you can have both.
And because quite frankly
– And you've continued to invest in the basketball program while building this football program.
And I'm sure there are studies –
something that's nationally relevant.
I'm sure there are studies. Great athletics feeds into great academics. Like there's, I'm sure, a direct correlation – with Alabama's football success and enrollment, you know, I'm Clemson. The better you are, the more you're on television. You know, I mean, I'm just one person, and you might think I'm an idiot. You know, you might think I'm so stupid, but when I was a teenager, I was growing up in Memphis, and you know what happened? Memphis basketball was awesome. Memphis basketball was always in the tournament. Memphis basketball was always in the Elite Eight. They had number one recruiting classes. They had guys like Derrick Rose. And I said, I want to go to that school. I want to go be a student at and academics was whatever. It was just like I was seeing Memphis, not just because it was my hometown, but I was seeing Memphis on a national stage every year. And I didn't even consider a different school. Now, again, you might think I'm an idiot for basing my college choice around that, but I guarantee you there are a lot more people like me who make those decisions based on how good the football program is. They want to be a student. They want to be active. They want to go to games. Who wants to go to pick a crappy, you know, football program? Who wants to go to Kansas to go to the football games? You know, nobody, you know? But I guarantee there are people who want to go to Coastal Carolina. I'm sure there are now people who want to go to that school because they have success in football and it looks fun, you know. So it matters and it feeds into the other. So you don't have to pick one or the other. Just like you don't have to pick one or the other with football or basketball. Your point.
I mean, ultimately, better athletics,
better conference, more money coming in, improve entire school, not just athletic department.
Yeah.
Good thing for the entire
school. And if the worst thing that happens, if the worst thing that happens out of this is that you got $50 million worth of upgrades to the Liberty Bowl, like, that's a great thing. Is that going to get you into the Power 5 or the Power 4 or whatever? I don't think so. But it's part of the larger ambition. And I think you can certainly appreciate that as being the fan of an organization that seems to have none of that.
What was the line in, you remember Taken, Marco from Tropoia?
Where Liam Neeson?
Yeah, exactly. Wanted to do on the phone, tell him, because that's what the city's telling Memphis on this on-campus stadium.
I will find you and I will kill you?
That's what Liam told him. But you know what the killer said?
Oh, what'd he say?
Good luck, fool. That's what the city is saying. Good luck. Now, Liam tracked it on down. He tracked it, Marco from Tropoia on down.
But he couldn't.
But on the phone, dude told him,
okay, but,
good luck.
But here's my thing, though.
That's what the city's saying to Memphis
How did Liam keep losing his kids?
You know, it didn't make no damn sense.
Because there were four versions of that movie.
No, well, one of them, they got his wife, too.
I'm saying, how do you keep losing your relatives?
It wasn't just the kid every time.
Yeah.
But the wife got involved. And she was Taken as well.
Yeah.
Liam does the same movie. Forget just Taken. It's basically him just beating up folks.
No, he was in Star
to
Wars.
To get the revenge every time. What?
Liam Neeson was in Star Wars, bro.
Everybody was in that, though, fool. That wasn't his movie.
I'm saying, but he does
Taken
not.
Taken and others movie.
Michael Cera's not in Star Wars.
Samuel Jackson was in Star Wars, fool.
Yeah, because Samuel Jackson's a legend.
Everybody's in Star Wars.
That's not true.
That's why I don't watch it
anymore.
Jonah
Hill's not in Star Wars. Channing Tatum's not in Star Wars.
Would have been better if they'd had Jonah Hill. Dude's a really good actor.
Oh, you got respect for him.
He can put on the weight, take the weight off, can give you a bunch of different looks. He got range, as they
say. Has Leo ever been in Star Wars?
No.
Okay.
Beneath him
Ben
now.
Affleck,
beneath
Matt
him
Damon.
Now. Beneath him now.
No, so not everybody has been in Star Wars.
Samuel going to be in everything. Your boy Liam going to be in everything, obviously. Took a chick.
Yeah.
It wasn't his movie. That's not his film.
Do you think Matt Damon kind of does that? Like, has the same role?
Yeah, I mean, he's all.
I mean, early in his career, he was like, he was in Rounders, he was in Goodwill Hunting. Like, he was a little bit more versatile, but I think like.
But then he did the astronaut and what, the Mars thing or whatever. I mean, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think
I'm just thinking Bourne Identity and like.
If this is what you're in, Matt Damon overrated.
Ooh.
Yes.
Matt Damon overrated.
Oh, come on. Yes.
Matt Damon.
Man, I can tell I've offended some folks in here.
I'm saying.
I love it.
Matt
Damon. Because this is how y'all looked at me yesterday when I said Leach should be fired if he loses.
Matt Damon in thespian circles.
I like being on the island.
Is
I like
considered a good actor, though, right?
What? That man can't touch Leonardo DiCaprio. That's a real actor. Your boy Jonah Hill, real actor. Those folks are real actors.
Yeah, I mean, Jonah Hill is.
My man, Denzel's son, man. Dude can act.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll give you John David Washington.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Lil Denzel, I call him.
I'll give you that.
He's fantastic. Our man, unfortunately, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman was showing you
great.
Some range. There was real range with that dude.
Do you think Matt Damon is the most overrated?
I can't.
Do you think he's the most overrated actor
What's
ever?
That one series? He's like a superhero, spy?
The Bourne Identity.
Oh, just straight. Just throw them all in the trash. They're all just repeats.
Mark Wahlberg is the most overrated actor. That's the answer.
He's come on of late.
Oh, stop.
Goodwill Hunting, The Departed,
Rounders,
Mr. Ripley.
How old are all those?
Rounders was good.
Listen, Mark Wahlberg got a movie out right now. You're talking about different characters, right? It was all just about being the hunk, being buff, Four Brothers, which was secretly outstanding, all of that stuff. But now he's done one where he loses his daughter, right? She's missing.
Yeah.
I've
heard of this.
Yeah. And then he's done one. There's one where he goes on this walk because his son's gay. And as a tribute, he goes on it's out right now.
Yeah.
And it's a completely my whole point. You know what I like when it comes to range. And
yeah.
Mark is actually showing that right now, even though he's a lot more into filmmaking than he is the actual acting now. So I think he's kind of turned a corner in terms of his development as an actor. Used to be that.
Yeah, he was always in those like big
same thing.
Yeah.
But he's moved. Matt Damon ain't doing nothing, pushing it. Here's a different kind of role for me. Mm-hmm. You don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes back to the well.
Well, Memphis is trying to get out of the well.
Here's the thing. Bottom line: Matt Damon overrated. Mike Leach overrated.
They're the same.
Both of them lose to Memphis this weekend. Get them out. Damon and Leach.
I don't know if I didn't know Damon.
$5 million. Y'all like this man. Just win the Egg Bowl, Mike. We'll be fine.
Well, that
we love you.
Isn't that true? We have a Mississippi State fan on the show.
I got to listen to more, apparently.
You got to listen
all
to
Mississippi
more.
State matters. I see the tweets.
Brad, does it really only come down to winning the Egg Bowl?
$5 million a year?
Yeah, and that is important. I thought last year winning your bowl game against Tulsa, a ranked Tulsa team, was important last year, and closing out, you beat Missouri. So it's all relative. People like the character, too, down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see the ramp-up happen? Do you see the plane about to take off?
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell you, top 16, top 15 paid coach in the country.
My mind that you guys have a top 15 paid coach.
Dan Mullen made 4.5 his last year there.
They hated Moorhead, too. Moorhead.
Dan Mullen made 4.5 his last year there, at least making $5 million.
But when was his last year there?
Dan Mullen?
Yes.
I don't know. You got Moorhead in between?
Yeah, he's got four out.
You adjust for inflation.
Yeah.
Hey, stop. You did that to shake things up. They wanted to splash higher with Leach after Moorhead. Clearly, they wanted to do that.
No doubt.
So they said, we're going to extend what we usually do.
Did they have to pay $5 million? $5 million,
if you're going to get him out of Washington State, you probably did.
Damn, man.
Now, he was coming off a dog year at Washington State, too.
You got him in a good year.
He was not good enough for Tennessee. Tennessee did not want any parts of Mike Leach.
They didn't want him at Tennessee. Tennessee fans did, because remember they were going to hire the Rutgers coach.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Yeah, and that was the whole hiring process got screwed up at Tennessee.
I get that win the Egg Bowl 7-8 games has made Mississippi State fans happy, and maybe still continues to even after the Dan Mullen era. But when you got Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss now, they're up in the rankings, right? Everybody's seeing the ramp up. How long can we keep them? Hell, you know, and it's not as fun as maybe you initially thought it was going to be with Leach.
Yep.
Not to mention, you're extended. You're paying him $5 million. Yep. All I'm saying is, it ain't going to be such a good look if you lose to Memphis.
Okay, this was not part of the story, but Memphis is playing Mississippi State this week.
Oh, that's true.
So I would ask you, okay.
Line hadn't changed. To y'all's point, it's still three-point line, Mississippi State.
You fire Mike Leach to go hire who?
I don't know. Again, if it's going to be bad fit and underwhelming results, because, again, you're SEC. Look at what Arkansas just did to Texas. I bring that up because, again, do we think Memphis is at Texas's level? No. Are Arkansas and Mississippi State, you know, relatively be on equal footing? Maybe not compared to what you're paying Sam Pittman. But Sam Pittman's got those folks
excited. I mean, does that not play a different factor at all? It was there.
Texas was number 15. Memphis was picked fifth in the AAC. Have you looked at Memphis's defense and where it ranks in the SP Plus rank? It's near the bottom of the country. First 2 weeks.
Yeah, because
of what? Because Arkansas State's so good?
Well, the defense has not come together.
All I'm saying is still SEC, and it's the amount of money. We don't need to do this again. But because I'm clearly on an island here. But the point, you ask me who you go hire. Hire a better fit for less money. Right? If you just want to have some fun.
Well, they don't need to save money.
You might as well get a fit.
They're flush with cash.
If you're going to spend that much, I would think you intend to beat Memphis. You need to beat an AAC team that was picked fifth in the AAC
place. Not when anything is possible, though. That's what you're not taking into account, man. Anything is possible with Seth Hennigan at quarterback.
Yeah, I know you.
There's some magic happening.
Because you're telling me how happy they'll be down in Starkville, him coming home at 2-1 after losing to a true freshman.
We got the Mississippi State man on the show.
Y'all telling me, believe me, I'm listening.
He's telling you.
And I hear you about how happy they'll be in Stark Vegas with Leach coming back 2-1 after a loss to Memphis. Everything will be ho-hum and dandy.
Now, does Mike
Leach, to y'all,
this is how many, he has one full recruiting class, right?
One, yes.
He's got one full recruiting class.
It's not even the most controversial thing I've said this week because I'm telling
you, controversial
my
thing?
Phone is blowing up at all these Matt Damon lovers, okay? What did he do for y'all that I've apparently offended them calling him overrated? Put him in the same boat,
Rounders.
Leach, Damon, overrated. Deal with it.
First of all, Matt Damon is far more accomplished than Mike Leach.
That I will give you. Still overrated.
But
and what has he done lately, John? Because that's what we're living in.
The Martian was not bad.
Oh, please.
And his cameo in Interstellar was pretty good. You remember that one?
No.
He was the antagonist. Like he tried to keep everybody on the planet because he knew that the life on Earth was doomed.
Sound like some trash.
Oh, it was scientifically held up. You want me to give you the book?
Scientifically? How to do it in reviews? Where you go, your Rotten Tomatoes. You're talking about
it's a Nolan film, man.
What does that mean?
It's a do you really want me to look? It's a Christopher Nolan film. It's guaranteed to be 95% no matter what. This is the Dark Knight director.
What did he win?
Tenet.
Nobody even, y'all still talking about Good Will Hunting. when you say Matt Day, you're still talking about Rounders. Nobody telling me anything I recognize here lately.
Well, Rounders was, it's hard to top that one.
How many years ago was Rounders, John, that Matt Damon still got to hold on to it for you?
It was good.
It's a sign.
It was good.
All right, now, man. Again, I better not trigger any more of our listeners here with this Matt Damon talk. My ass be canceled. You're on here talking about, and I'm going to get canceled for talking
about. Don't bring up what I said. I asked a question.
I'm going to be snitching when they drag me out of here. Well, John said this in the first. They're getting me from Matt Damon.
And they're going to say, you know what? We know John said that, but that is far more offensive.
White folks, crazy.
Because Odyssey is based in, you know, that region. You know, Boston, Philly, like we have a lot of presence there.
That must be what's happening. I'm getting hit by national folks.
Matt Damon, I think David Field is actually in your email right now, and you'll have a Zoom meeting after the show ends.
Apparently, we have an exclusive partnership with Matt Damon.
That's right. Presented by BetQL, fool.
Damn.
But anyway.
I'm out of here, y'all.
Anyway, what a weekend it will be, the Jason Smith Bowl, Memphis at Mississippi State. And someday, that game might happen in a new stadium in Memphis. Who knows?
It's amazing how you tied all that together. I got one
next
more.
Story.
Football game last night. It was trash.
It was a great game.
No, because Baltimore should have won it about 10 times.
It's true. I mean, it's like,
come on.
You're sodium.
It's barely, we call that barely
you're
a win.
Sodium, dog. I mean, it's.
What is the sodium, man? What are you talking about? What does it got to do with sodium?
Too much salt, man.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're going to have to get you some Lipitor.
I don't eat salt. I do a lot of Coke.
No, you, but.
As you know, I got a lot of sugar.
I'll be honest,
in me.
You exude it. You exude this. I mean, you can say a lot of things. You can be.
I'm supposed to hide that I was rooting against the Raiders last night?
No, I don't want you to hide about it because
you don't even like your quarterback.
I don't like my quarterback. And he will have a game.
It's weird.
Very
he got
soon.
For almost 500 yards.
The only bet I lost last night was the under. And I told John because I got the under in the first half and I was feeling pretty damn good.
Me too.
Like,
I had an under too.
I'm under. And boy, they just took off in the fourth quarter. Yeah, everybody decided to score points.
Another reason why I was unhappy with the outcome of the game.
Ditto.
It's not so much the game because I think John and I both sort of said what you need to know about this one. I thought it said more about the Baltimore Ravens and where they are.
They do not
look like one of the elite of the AFC. Now, you guys were getting on Lamar as a passer. He actually had, you know, oddly enough, a better rating than Derek Carr last night. It wasn't so much him as a passer that concerned me.
Yeah.
It was more that run game ain't the same.
Yep.
Right? Behind him, they couldn't ball control after they got up 14-0, and defensively they did not look the same. They're not getting the same pressure with their front four. They're having to blitz every time. Blitz 17 times, only come up with 3 sacks. Y'all blitzed twice, still had 3 sacks.
Now,
front four is better.
Now,
so set that to the side.
We need to have a real discussion, though.
No, we don't, because you already said Raiders going to win 6-7 games.
All you've done is pull people out of contention in the AFC since week one started.
You pulled
the Bills
it's
out.
It's so I can keep the Titans
putting,
up.
I'm
it's
saying,
so I can
though,
keep the Titans
there
up.
There is no logical way that you could put the Titans above the Bills or the Ravens right now.
It's still Chiefs. It's still Bills in there. Because I suppose you looked a little better.
The gap.
You looked a lot better, I suppose.
We won.
Although it wasn't great. Who?
The Raiders. You're talking about the Bills.
I'm going Bills, Titans still. Titans still. That was Kyler Murray, dude.
Okay.
They got a special offense.
Okay.
You said this yourself. They barely had any time in the preseason together dealing with the COVID issue.
And Peyton actually
talked
about that
especially.
Yesterday.
Yes, he did. And underlined what was a very fine point.
Yeah.
They will be fine. You even said that after you got done gloating about them losing, you said it too.
But to me, this is what week one revealed, that the gap between the Chiefs and the rest of the AFC is wider than it's ever been.
Dude, the Chiefs almost lost to Cleveland.
At
home.
Yes.
Cleveland had him.
Yeah.
If they got him dropped the punt, there's a chance.
You know what? You know how many times you'll be able to say that?
Makes a better decision.
First of all, Cleveland was a playoff team last year. They already put an L on there.
I'm not ready to go there yet. I may go there because Kansas City, I mean, I got him in the Super Bowl.
Because the truth is that you're never going to be able to come here unless there are extenuating circumstances like he has offensive line problems or an injured toe where you're not going to say, man, Patrick Mahomes just didn't get it done at the end. He's always going to get it done. They're always going to do it.
I'm a guy that had the Chiefs and the Titans in the AFC Championship game. I'm not changing that based on what I've seen.
That's fine, but it will be a 3-score game in the playoffs.
I didn't think the Ravens would be as good as the Titans this year. Again, Titans got a lot of work to do because they got absolutely manhandled.
Yeah.
That said, can we set the football to the side for a minute? Because like we said, both of y'all ain't doing anything, you or the Ravens. The talk is on the Manning simulcast. I thought it was great. I'm going to have a hard time going back.
Yep.
They're working out, you know, some of the logistics.
Yep.
They'd talk over each other a little bit too much. Eli'd get a little long-winded trying to be funny. But the insight that you get, it was an educational watch.
It really was.
By the end of it, I'm watching Peyton. I'm looking for the motion so I can figure, is this one zone or man? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Like that, you're looking at the tips that he's giving you on this and saying how you can tell. We're talking about zero defense and all. And by the end of it, I'm feeling like I'm on the sideline with those guys. It was an educational experience. And, again, they'll get those sort of, here's what would happen. Peyton would ask a question of Russ or whoever they had on right when they were about to go to commercial break. And unfortunately, you leave your answerer there. You're having to cut him off.
Yep.
Because Peyton doesn't have that feel for time.
Right.
That will give that some time to work itself through. This thing is great. And again, I hate it for Lou Riddick because I love me some Louis Riddick on that Monday night broadcast. Think he brings a ton of insight, but it ain't a quarter of as much of what you get, from these Mannings.
They basically, as a play is being set up, they tell you they can already sense, oh, this is a good look by the defense, or else this is setting up a bad play by the off. Like they'll sort of give you that before the play even actually happens.
What I liked too was sort of the immediate critique you would get too. They were willing to do that. Derek Carr, go the cadence when you're down close or whatever else, and they show you too. Well, Derek's trying to get. They even got on the fans.
Yep,
to that point. But lower your so the folks can hear. And then why are you going cadence when you're down that low close to the goal line, giving yourself a chance for your guys to jump?
Well, it's their first NFL game. I mean, come on, give them a break. You know, they're not veteran NFL fans. They're getting used to the whole thing.
Well, there's all. I just love their willingness to be critical.
No doubt.
Both. A player of fans, whatever else it was, rather than just that little whitewashed, oh, this is fun. Let me tell a story. Here, just giving you little tidbits. I'd rather have the critical approach, what you really think.
Yep.
And I thought we were getting what they really thought.
Yeah. You can't do that for basketball because it's too quick, right? Like the pace is too fast.
That's a good point.
But I do think that in particular is going to be the future of college football game watching for a lot of us. I mean, some people won't watch it because they don't care.
College football game watching?
Like, I could even see, like, even for a college football game, right? Like, a big college football game.
Well, they kind of done that on the championship games.
Yeah.
Right? When they got Barrett in them in the other studio.
And like other college coaches, who come in. But I think, you could do this, basically, you could have this as an offering for every NFL game. You know, you could bring in, for the Raiders, you could bring in, like, Rich Gannon and
I don't know, though.
The personality,
I think the Mannings are kind of, they kind of got that it factor.
You're right. The personality does have to matter, but you can find personalities, man. Like, you can do that.
Eli getting on the size of Peyton's head.
Yeah.
It was, that brotherly stuff, that was all. I thought Eli tried a little bit.
No, you're right. It is the combination of knowledge and comedic sort of wit.
Yeah, and their chemistry together, the sort of brother thing.
Yes.
Like Eli, I think, is funny naturally. It felt like at times he's trying to go on, be a little extra, and didn't need to do that.
Yep.
But again, they will work through those things. I think they got it's one of the best things I've watched on television in a while.
And I
learned a lot. To be honest,
I did not go back.
I didn't either. Once I switched over, you said you were already over there before I was, and I went on and gave it a peek.
Yep.
And I locked in. I didn't switch again. Viewing experience.
I just don't think Levy is just that great, and that's who you
love dogging him though.
I just don't think he's that great. I don't love him as a.
Oh, he messed up some names that first year, and he's been fine since. But that's it. That's all he is.
I'd be interested to see the ratings.
You think Joe Tessitore was better?
I think Joe is better than Steve Levy. Yeah, I do. That's my opinion.
Joe overdid it,
but
for me,
and
I think that's why he's gone. Poor Booger. He don't even.
Al Michaels used to have the card out there. Al Michaels is the GOAT. Get him on a Monday night broadcast.
Yeah, but he got to do games with Collinsworth.
Yeah. Collinsworth is fine. Collinsworth's a smart guy.
I'll give it to you that there's a little bit too much hay, but come on. It's we've heard it for years. It's the same old with Chris.
It is. Now, here's a guy. Yeah, that's what he does. You know, this right is. Here's, that's kind of just. But, I think it's good. It's comfort food on Sunday night.
I liked the new last night of the Manning simulcast.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Darren Bates is going to join us at 125. He, of course, is the host of the Raw Room podcast, as well as trying to get on with an NFL team here as the season starts. We'll get his thoughts on week one, the game last night, what he thinks about Lamar, the rest of the NFL, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, so some NBA news here. A couple of things that are coming across as we speak. Remember John Wall?
Yeah, I remember that man.
Yeah, so John Wall is not going to play for the Rockets this year. John Wall is going to show up to training camp because he's going to be a good citizen. But they have mutually agreed to work together, John Wall and the Rockets, on finding a new home for Mr. Wall. He's been an All-Star five different times. I don't know. They were so bad last year, right? Like, it's impossible to know, how much John Wall has left and how much he can actually contribute to a contending NBA team.
Just turned 31.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers were good last year, right? Like, he averaged 21 points a game, but he only shot 40% from the floor and 32% from three. So it's just like, is there still a place on a contending level team?
That's a great question. I don't know that there is. I don't know that there is.
In a role that he would,
because he has to have the ball so damn much.
What? Yeah.
I mean, that's the issue with him, is to be effective. He's got to have a high usage rate, and who what contender is willing to give him that, right? Where you want to put the ball in John Wall's hands as much as he needs it. I don't know that there's one out there. Again, 31 years old now, and sure, he's still, I mean, John Wall, when healthy, can still get down the court in a blaze. Now, he ain't as fast as he used to be. The injuries have taken a toll, but again, And I'll just be real honest with you. When I think John Wall on a basketball team, I don't equate it to winning much. Not anymore. At one point I thought, well, maybe he is that piece and you can build that around him. Mm-hmm. But you guys tell me, I mean, has he shown that he elevates the play of others to a point that, it seems like him and Bradley just kind of made a deal. We're going to coexist, but we're never really together. Over Washington, that didn't work out. And so I just don't see where John Wall helps the rest of the team,
yep,
right, makes other guys better, all that. It's always been about high usage rate. He gets the numbers, but it doesn't help you much in terms of the W's and the compiling the wins.
Well, and the other reality
that might
of the
situation be the case
is,
for him the rest of the way, man.
Here's the problem for John Wall. The biggest problem for John Wall, it's not even the fact that he gives up so much defensively. It's not the fact that he's 31 years old. It's not the fact that he doesn't shoot well from three. The biggest problem for John Wall is that he is owed $92 million.
He's paid like one of the stars in the league, and if you're not going to cut that back or be willing to play a role on a veteran team, like just say the Lakers, he would have to take so much less than what he's making.
And by the way,
and that's why you're not going to be at a place like that.
His player option for 2022-23, and it's a player option, is $47 yep. I mean, million.
Who's his agent? His agent did a hell of a job.
God himself.
I mean, seriously, it's...
Bro, who did they think they were signing? You know what I mean? 47 There's LeBron at
a five-time All-Star who
LeBron
they thought they were signing.
They overpaid.
I mean, it's like it said, it's been a downhill slope for him, to say the least. And yes, you know, unfortunately, you end up overpaying anybody that's got him.
So I don't know what I mean.
He'd have to take a whole step down to reality before he's on a championship.
The only team in the NBA who would do this, I'll be honest, has got to be Sacramento. Everybody else is going to say no. Unless you agree to a buyout, unless, you know, there's some, which I, you know, what would be the, I don't know. I think this is a situation where, you know, in a perfect world, right, where John Wall makes a lot less money, you know, and he's happy to take sort of a secondary role.
But he's not doing that right now while that money's owed.
Yeah.
Right? This is it for him in terms of that. You're not getting another one like
there
that.
There is just no way on this planet that he is going to forego that $47 million player option in 22, 23. I mean, because that's going to be your biggest payday for the rest of your life. You're not giving that up. And so I don't know what the resolution is going to be. It might be a Deshaun Watson thing, like where you're just on the team and, you know, you don't play. I'm not sure. Houston got that going on, huh? This guy's like some weird situations. And James Harden, and then you got Deshaun still going on. What are they going to do with John Wall?
No, they've moved on. It's all about the youth.
But they are in the Big 12.
They're in Houston.
They are going to the Big 12. So they do got that going for them. And that's about it. It's about it for the city of Houston. The other piece of news in the NBA is that players.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.